All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians in chapter number 3. Last week we talked about faith and service in 2014. And this morning I want to talk about who we serve. As we read our text here in just a moment, we'll recognize that we serve the Lord Christ. And we'll just go ahead and read that one, just verse number 24 to begin with, and we'll read a little bit more in just a second. And it says in Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, as we walk through this life, we may face many challenges to our commitment to Christ. But we have chosen to follow Jesus. And because of our commitment to following Jesus, it's going to affect the way that we make decisions. We were going to refrain from actions which might be deemed sin. We're going to honor Christ with our wages. We're going to serve others. We're going to forgive when the world says we shouldn't forgive. Basically, our whole life is dedicated to Christ. But sometimes in our lives, when we've made such great sacrifices and we've made such great commitment, and we know that the Bible teaches us, yea, and all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And we know the Bible talks about the afflictions as they come and all of those things. Sometimes we may think about our commitment and the sacrifice that we make, and we may wonder, is it worth it? Is the sacrifice that we have to make, is it worth it? Sometimes the worth of that dedication is not evident because our reward is an inheritance in heaven. Sometimes patiently waiting is difficult. And so today I want us to look at the words of Paul to the Colossians to see if we can find encouragement because we do serve the Lord Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we do just pray that you'll bless the teaching of your word. We thank you, God, that our life is built upon your word. That our life is not built upon men's philosophies or the teachings of some man, but our teachings, our lives are built upon your word that you have proven true so many times. And we thank you, God, for granting unto us faith. We thank you for your presence to be with us, to help us as we walk with you. And we thank you for the security that we have of our inheritance in heaven. So we pray, God, that you'll bless as we worship through your word today, that you'll bless, your Holy Spirit will take the word and make it effective in people's hearts. Just thank you for Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen. So let's go all the way back to verse number 12 of Colossians chapter number 3. And really what you're going to see there is Paul has given them some things as believers that they should do. And he kind of concludes it with, for we serve the Lord's Christ. So let's think about these things that Paul is telling the church at Colossians that they should do. Verse number 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ, but he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. So here you see Paul talking to the church at Colossae about their service. And he gives them the reason they should do all of these things is because they serve the Lord Christ. And so I want us to think about that today, that we do serve the Lord Christ. And as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about what the world serves. Now we know that there are many religions in this world. There is Islam, there is Buddhism, there is Hinduism, there is Judaism, there's all kinds of isms out there. There is atheism, polytheism. There are dualists in this world. The world has all different types of philosophies. As a matter of fact, I got up this morning and I just was flipping. I was really going to watch the news to see when the weather was about to happen. And I just flipped it on the local CBS, and they had a program on there. And I didn't really listen to it closely, but it was talking about these children, and these children were doing things to appease the gods and make the gods happy with them. Everywhere you go around the world, each group of people has their own philosophy about life after death and God and gods and how to gain peace with the gods, how to get the gods to smile upon you and all of those things. There's all different types of philosophies. And what are those philosophies built upon? Most of those are built upon just maybe some traditional teaching. It's just what they have been taught, especially in some of these lower, not as advanced countries, some of the jungle tribes and those things. I mean, it's just the stories that they have been taught since they were children. You think about even atheism that is popular today. What do they serve? They serve the hope that there is nothing. That there is no one. There's no one to whom they are responsible. There is just nothing out there, that you live and then you die and that's the end of it. They serve the hope that there is nothing. The polytheists in the world today, and they believe that everything is God. The trees, the bees, the wind, the fire, the snow, everything that you can think of, that's a God, and they follow that and they worship that, and in their polytheism they have some way of getting to a place of life after death. There are dualists in the world today who believe in the two cosmic forces of good and evil. Many of them are fatalists. They believe in fate and what's going to happen is going to happen, and you know, there's yin and yang is that dualist, you know, the good, the power of good and the power of evil and all those things. And without getting into those too deeply, I just want us to think about the people in the world, and they serve something. They have some idea about life, even if it's that there is nothing out there other than this life, that there is some philosophy out there, and everyone has it. Most of the religions of this world, they follow the teachings of some man who point them to a God-type figure. And with every religion that is out there in the world, every one of them is built upon doing works to cause their God to accept them. This is why many will suffer greatly for their cause, because they think the more they suffer, the more favor they will find their God. But think about this, the world, why do they serve what they serve? Which brings us to the question, why do you serve what? Why do you serve the Lord Christ? That's really what we're getting at today. So what do we serve? Well, it said in our text that we serve the Lord Christ. How is our service different than the religions in the world? How is what we do, how is us following the Lord Jesus Christ, how is it different? Well, first of all, let's remember that these religions in the world, every one of them is based upon, it's a merit-based religion. In other words, you do this, and here's your reward. You do that, here's your reward. You suffer this, you know, if you die a martyr's death, there's so many thousand virgins waiting on you in the next life, you know, they'll say, and all those things. It's you work for them, or you make a sacrifice, and then the wrath of that God will be appeased. Or you serve, and then here's the benefit. It's a merit-based religion. All of the religions in the world are merit-based. Christianity is not merit-based. Let's remember that. You see, we have a God who did lay down a system of laws, rules, and regulations. But we also have this. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. See, the difference is, in those other religions, the punishment for sin, or the punishment for those gods not being happy with you, is they pour out their wrath on you somehow, and then you got to make some type of sacrifice in order to get them to accept you, or you got to do certain things to gain favor. The difference is this, in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Here's the difference. We can't do anything to gain acceptance before God. The Bible teaches us that there's none righteous, no, not one, there's none that understand, that there's none that seeketh after God. The Bible teaches us that there is nothing that you can do to get God to like you. There's nothing, you can never be good enough. You can never give God enough. You can never live holy enough, pure enough, righteous enough. You can't do that. So here's what God did. God Himself came to this world in the person of Jesus Christ, and He lived the perfect life, and He who knew no sin became sin for us, that He might fulfill the righteousness of God for us, and He gave us righteousness. Here's the difference. Our God provided life for us. Our God suffered our punishment Himself. You see, we have sinned, we have broken His law, and the wages of our sin is death. And what He did for us was He took our death upon Himself. He died for us. He took our place on the cross, and He died for us. You see, the difference is these other religions of the world try to do things themselves to get God to accept them, whereas we know that we can't do anything to get God to accept us. We simply believe in what He has already done for us. We believe He did the work, and we can do no work. That's the difference. You see, our service to Christ is not based upon merit. It's not based upon, now if you'll do these 10 things, then God will take you to heaven. Or if you'll make these 7 sacraments, then you get to go to heaven. Or if you go spend some time in purgatory, then you get to go to heaven. Or as long as you don't do this and you don't, you know, then you get to go to heaven. No, that's not it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How are we saved? We're saved by grace. And let's remember, grace is unmerited favor. Grace is you can do nothing to earn it. Grace is God giving it to you. Here's the difference. God gave us life. God gave us His only begotten Son. God did it for us. You see, that's who we serve. We were sinners. We were unrighteous. We were undeserving of anything. And God Himself came in the person of Jesus Christ and died for us and gives us life. Therein is a tremendous difference. They are doing things, the religions of the world are doing things in order to try to please God and get God to like them. You and I are saved by grace. We're just recipients of the gift of God. We receive salvation. We don't earn salvation. Salvation is a gift. And so therein is the tremendous difference. And what do we serve? We serve one who has given His life for us. We serve one that bore our sins in His own body there on the tree. We serve one that took our place. suffered our death, and gave us life. Hopefully you can see this morning that there's a tremendous difference. Again, our service to Christ is not in order to find favor with God. Our service to Christ, it is because we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. See, our service is not in order to gain favor. Our service is because that we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So really, the reason that we serve the Lord Christ is because we know that we're dead in trespasses and sins. Because we know that our heart is desperately wicked. And we know that if God gave us what we earned, that He would give us a death in hell, that we would be punished forever apart from God. And we recognize that. And so we understand that when He gave us grace, when He gave us life, when He pardoned our sin, when He washed us our sins away in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, He gave that to us. He has given us life. He's given us life more abundantly. And we want to serve Him because of what He has already done for us. So when we go back to look at our text in Colossians 3:24, if you want to go back to look at that just a second, it says, we serve the Lord Christ, but what does it say before that? It says this, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. You see, we serve because we know we shall gain that inheritance. Not in order that we might gain the inheritance, but because we have already been given the inheritance. As we've been looking at on Wednesday nights when we've been looking at the book of Romans, we're heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with Jesus. And what does that mean? It means that we're going to have the inheritance that Jesus had. Not because that we have earned it, because He has adopted us and added us to His family. We have the inheritance. And so we serve the Lord Christ not in order to gain that inheritance, but because we already have been given that inheritance. We serve the Lord Christ. Now I want you to notice something else. Our service is evidence that we will receive the inheritance. In other words, when you see someone serving the Lord Christ, and you see them sacrificing of themselves and giving themselves to Christ and laying down their life for the sake of Christ, you know they're doing that. You know that they're going to be a candidate or that they have already obtained the inheritance. In other words, how we're serving the Lord Christ is evidence of what has already done in us. We serve because of the change that has already been made in our hearts. And so that service is evidence that we know that we have the inheritance of Christ Jesus. So we come to the understanding, and we understand this, that today the Lord is worthy of our service. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Know this today, that the Lord is worthy of your service. Again, like we said in the beginning of the message, there may be times in our lives when we question the value of serving and when we see how the wicked prosper and we see what's going on in the world and we may say, what use is it for me to sacrifice so much? Why am I giving Him my time? Why am I spending time away from my family? Why am I giving Him my tithes and my offerings? And why am I serving others? What's in it for me? You know, sometimes it comes to people's hearts and minds. Hopefully we begin to understand that the Lord is worthy of everything that we give Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. J.R. was talking about the family members who passed away and talking about listening to some lost people as they talk about death and even a little bit about his own thoughts about death. And you know, every time you go to a funeral home and you take part in a funeral service, and there's sometimes that you take part in funeral services and you don't really know the spiritual state of the person who has passed away. Some people you're fully convinced that by their life you know in whom they believed, and you're fully persuaded that they're saved by the grace of God because of the evidence that's in their life. But you go to others and you don't have that same confidence. As a matter of fact, you have very little confidence. You're thinking that person's probably not in the presence of Christ. And as you think about that, you know, the people that are in the world and they have thoughts about death. Where do they get their thoughts? Where do they get their hopes? Where do they get their longings for heaven and their ideas that they're going to go to heaven when they die? What's it based upon? Well, I don't know what theirs is based upon. But here's what I do know. I know what mine is based upon. And mine is based upon the Word of God. My hope is based upon the truth that we find contained in the Word of God. And the reason we know the Word of God is true is because it's been proven true time and time and time again. And here's what that Word says. That He has begotten us again in the life we hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, all of those other religions that we mentioned earlier and those earthly founders that they have, where are their earthly founders now? They're somewhere in the grave. Where's the one that my teachings come from? He's sitting on the right hand of God. He's in heaven. And here's what He's promised us. He's promised us a lively hope. And we know that that hope is sure because He's been resurrected from the dead. And now He sits on the right hand of God. How do you know He's been resurrected from the dead? Because there's many infallible proofs that prove to us that He has been raised again from the dead. And so I know that the teachings that are found in the Scripture, they're not just writings of some man, but they are truly the Word of God. And the Word of God tells me that I have a lively hope in Christ Jesus. And so I know also that I have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for me. And if you are saved by the grace of God, you have a place reserved in heaven for you. And you know that when you die, like the song that we sang, not afraid to die. In His arms I'm not afraid. Why? Because I've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that I have that inheritance. And I know it's that place that is reserved for me. And since I know what He's given me, guess what? He's worthy of my service. He's worthy because I'm not afraid to close my eyes in death. I'm not afraid to bid this world goodbye. Because I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded. And so therefore, I'm going to serve Him. The Lord is worthy of our service. When we think of our inheritance, when we know that is given by grace. You see, here's the great thing. The religions of this world, they have to do things in order to gain acceptance of God. Even some branches of Christianity teach that you have to do things to gain the favor of God. You got to do things even to keep yourself saved. Folks, I'm glad that I don't believe that. You know why I'm glad I don't believe that? Because I lived that life one time. I lived the life of you have to do good works in order to keep yourself saved. I lived the life where you had to say your prayers every night. And if you didn't repent of your sins every night and you died in your sleep, that you was going to die and go to hell. I lived that life. There's no joy there. There's no peace there because I knew what was in my heart. And the more I tried to make myself acceptable to God, the more I could see that I could not make myself acceptable to God. So I'm glad that I'm not living a life that has to please God or living a life that has to gain favor with God. I'm glad my life, my salvation, is by the grace of God. I'm glad of that. It's by grace. Unmerited favor. Listen, anything that I do here in this life It's going to gain me rewards, but it's not getting me to heaven. My pathway to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith, and that's it. Anything that I do after that is not to get into heaven. It is to prepare my place, so to speak, my rewards. I'm glad that salvation is by grace through faith. He's worthy because of the inheritance. He's worthy because it's by grace. And when we think of this, God's presence in your life, God's protection over your life, His provision in this life, He's worthy. He is worthy of my service. So we serve the Lord Christ. You know, the Bible teaches us, though, that there are those that question the value of serving God. And I'm going to look at two examples. First of all, in Job 21. And Job, as you know, the story of Job, he lost everything, and his friends come to console him and try to encourage him, but really they weren't encouraging him. And Job is describing the wealthy who take no thought for God. Let's just read in verse number 1. But Job answered and said, "Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. As for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Mark me and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth. Even when I remember, I am afraid and tremble at taking hold of my flesh." Here's what I want you to see. Where do the wicked live, become old, yea, and are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the tremble and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. In other words, look at all the rich people out there and the wealthy people in the world. It seems like they have the best of everything. Their bulls gender, their calves bring forth their calves, their children go out and dance, and they don't have to worry about the wrath of God. They don't have to worry about the correction of God. They just go, eat, drink, be merry, and they're happy, and woohoo, everything's good. But they die. So now he's getting to the real meat of the matter. They go and it seems their life is all good and they're wealthy and all of these things, but they die. Therefore they say unto God, "Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we would pray unto him?" Listen to what they say. We don't need God. We don't need to pray to God. There's no value in serving Him. Why would I want to serve the Lord? And as you think about this, you go out in the world and you rub shoulders with people in the world and you're serving God and you're giving to Him and you're sacrificing to Him, and the people in the world say, "What are you serving God for? That's foolishness. We don't need God. What are you going to pray for? We don't need to pray. We don't need..." You see that out in the world today, right? Job was having the same thing. Then Job comes to the understanding. He says, "Lo, their good is not in their hand." In other words, they might have it good, they think, but it's not because they've earned it. It's because God's given it to them. "The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them. God distributes sorrows and his angers. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst?" What pleasure is going to be? All of this stuff that you've gained, what's it going to be once you die? There is no pleasure there. "Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judges those that are high? One dieth in his full strength." See, one dies and he's strong, being wholly at ease and quiet. There's one, he, He dies and he's full of strength. And another dieth in bitterness of his soul and never eateth with pleasure. They lay down alike in the dust, and the worms shall cover them. See, Job, as he looks at men's life, he's saying, look, that person may be rich, but they're going to die. That person over there may be poor, they're going to die. They're both alike going to go down into the grave, and the worms are going to eat their flesh. We're all going to die. What's the value in serving God? Because one day you're going to die. Then all of that you've acquired, whose is it going to be? You can't take it with you. All of that that you've given your life to, you've given your life to gain and to store back and to hold and all, then whose is that going to be? You're going to leave it all behind and you're going to go back to the dust from whence you came. What's the value in serving God? Because one day you're going to die. And then the only thing that's going to matter is what you've done for Christ and how you've lived for Him. You see, those that are in the world that have lived for this world, they're going to leave all of that behind. And those in this world that have lived for the world that has become, they're going to take all of that with them. That's why the Scripture says, set your affections on things above and not on the things on the earth below. And so the question is today, what are you going to have to show for your life? Why serve Christ? Read verse number 30. That the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Why should you serve God? Because one day you're going to die and the wicked are going to be reserved to the wrath of God. So let's go over now to the book of Malachi in chapter number 3. You see, there's great benefit in serving God because you're laying up rewards in heaven. You're preparing for eternity. In the book of Malachi, God is revealing to the children of Israel how they had rejected Him. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. If you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. So God is telling them how they have forgotten Him. But let's begin reading in verse number 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. These are now supposed to be the servants of God. These are the ones that are supposed to be following Him. He said, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Here's what you have said. You have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before them. Notice what Malachi is saying. They're saying that it is vain to worship God. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that it is vain to follow and to serve God and that there's no benefit in it? And I wonder what the benefit is, and I wonder if it's even worth it all to serve Christ the way that I have. God says when He's talking to the children of Israel about this, your words are stout against me. You're speaking against me. You're saying that I'm not worthy of your service. Let's remember this. God remembers those who serve Him. You see, in this day, in the last days, these are the days. Remember, after the book of Malachi, there were 400 silent years. Malachi was the last prophet. After Malachi, God did not speak to the children of Israel for 400 years. So these are the last days of captivity. These are when there were very few people that were truly the followers of God. And there were many who didn't follow Him. And they said, it's vain to worship God. There were very few that were faithful to God. Sort of sounds like today, doesn't it? There were many who were playing the game, trying to put on the guise of being a follower of God, but to be a real follower of God, there were very few that were true followers of God. And those that were kind of playing the game and just putting on the guise, they said it's vain to even follow God. And God says this. Listen to verse 16 through 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another.
Those that were true followers,
they got together and they met. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not. Here's the deal. God says, I remember, I'm going to remember you, and you're going to be written down in the book of remembrance. When you get together and you serve God, and when there's those in the world that's saying it's vain to serve God, but when you serve me, I'm going to remember it. And when I set up my jewels in heaven, your name's going to be there, and you're going to be rewarded for your faithful service. Remember this, God is going to reward you for your faithful service to him. God will remember our work and our labor of love. If we go back to our text in Colossians chapter number 3, there was a long list of things that the recipients of the letter ought to do. Things to do to serve Christ. That will probably be our topic next week. But let's remember, we serve the Lord Christ. And I want to close with this. I want to close with Ephesians 5:32. I meant to put this in my PowerPoint and I forgot. Ephesians 5:32. I want to close with this scripture. I'm sorry, 5:2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Why should we serve the Lord Christ? Because Christ loved us, gave himself for us, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. He's worthy of our service. And let's remember who it is that we serve. We serve the Lord Christ. You know, as the children of Israel got ready to walk across the River Jordan, Joshua came to them and he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. I think it is Joshua's life, really. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You want to serve God, or you're going to serve God, the gods are on the other side of the flood. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. And really today, the same thing's true for us. Who are you going to serve today? You're going to serve the gods that are out in this world, atheism and polytheism and Islam and Buddhism and Mormonism and whatever kind of is, whatever. You're going to serve all of that? Or are you going to serve the God, the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's remember, we serve the Lord Christ. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today. We just thank you for the truth that we found in your word. God, we're thankful today that your salvation is by grace, unmerited. Thank you for that. Lord, may we stop and consider the weightiness of that thought that you have saved us by your grace. May we recognize you're worthy of our service because of what you've done for us. And Lord, there may be one here today that's trying to get themselves to gain your favor. They're trying to work to get themselves to the place where you can bless them. Lord, if they're here and they're lost, Christ, we pray that you'll give them grace today. Quicken your heart and their hearts and make them alive. And we just thank you for the truth. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.